This is episode number 933 with New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Gandhi said, "A man is but the product of his thoughts, what he thinks he becomes." I am so excited about this. This is the third time we've had Dr. Joe on. And the reason we're having him on right now again is because his information, every time we get together, it's like magic. It's mind-blowing. It's face-melting. It's heart-opening. It's all the things that you want to consistently be reminded of how to improve your life and step into your greatness. That's what this is all about. And if you don't know who Dr. Joe is, you're in for a real treat. He's an international lecturer, researcher, consultant, New York Times bestselling author, and educator who's been invited to speak in more than 33 countries and on 6 continents. And as a lecturer and educator, he is driven by the conviction that each of us has the potential for greatness and unlimited abilities. That's what I'm talking about. And he has a compassionate style. He's educated thousands of people detailing how they can rewire their brains and recondition their bodies to make lasting changes. In his recent book, Becoming Supernatural, he talks about how we can intentionally change our brain chemistry to initiate profoundly mystical, transcendental experiences and develop a more healthy body, mind, and spiritual life. This is what I'm talking about. Get ready and excited for this interview. Make sure to get a pen and paper out, take some notes, and share this with your friends because it is going to blow your mind. In this specific interview, we talk about the power of consuming negative media and how it can affect your health, how anxiety can change your body's chemistry and compromise your immune system. So all the anxious people out there worried all the time, you got to be taking care of your health. How we should respond to the outbreak of anxiety and panic in the world right now, as well as with the coronavirus and everything that's happening with that. How we can heal ourselves by changing what we are focusing on and raising our consciousness. This and so much more. Get ready. Share with your friends. LewisHowes.com/933. And if this is your first time here, please let me know what you think about this episode over on Instagram at Lewis Howes. Very excited about this. Without further ado, let's dive into this episode with the one, the only, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Welcome, everyone, to this special edition of the School of Greatness podcast. We have the inspirational Dr. Joe Dispenza in the house. I'm so excited about this. We've had Joe on a couple of times, and they've done incredible. So many of you keep requesting him back. So many of you have been to his live retreats. You've bought his books, his best-selling books. You listen to his audio work, everything. And we've got him back right now because a lot of you keep requesting to have his wisdom, to have his information, to help us during this time of uncertainty and frustration and loss and fear and anxiety. So Dr. Joe, thank you so much for being here, my man.
Lewis, I'm always happy to be with you, bro.
Excited, man. And you have you've been growing over the last, really since you've done you've been in a lot of documentaries over the last decade and things have keep growing for you. But we were just talking before the interview about when did things really take off to another level. And if you said, because you have all this evidence now based on your work, that the evidence is backed, it's researched, and it's really been proven now, all the work you've been doing for decades and teaching people, because I think there's a lot of people in, let's say, an industry that might talk about meditation or talk about mindset, but they don't have evidence backing their specific
materials or backing their specific education, and you do. And I think that's really cool that you have that now.
Sure. I mean, I think evidence really is the loudest voice at this time in history. I mean, we have spent the last 10 years not studying Buddhist monks or nuns with 40 years of devotion or academics or scholars or religious figures. We really study common people. And, you know, we've kind of done our work to demystify a formula to teach people what transformation really is. And I think we already inherently know how to do it. So when we were just studying people like that were people that did, you know, 10 years of meditation, come into a laboratory and let's see what you can do in one meditation session or two meditation sessions. We're studying people over a course of an intense 7-day event. Mm-hmm. And what if they started thinking differently? They started making different choices. They started doing different things. If they start creating new experiences, if they start feeling different emotions, will there be changes in their biology? And without a doubt, we have evidence to show that, wow, you can signal new genes, you can strengthen your immune system, you can make your brain work better, you can make your heart work better, you can lengthen your life. You know, we have all this, you can get happier. We have all this data that shows scientifically that people are really changing on a fundamental level.
Yeah.
Because it is new information when they have all those new things happen to them. They're not being the same person. And if we study that over the course of a week, some people change fundamentally to such a degree that the disease or the condition that they showed up with as the old person is completely gone because they're not the same person any longer, because they are thinking differently, they are acting differently, and they are feeling differently. And how you think and how you act and how you feel is your personality. And your personality is intimately connected to your personal reality. So the disease exists in the old personality. This person is somebody else. And they didn't visualize the leukemia or the stage 4 cancer going away. They just became somebody else. So then that process of teaching people how to do that, and then having someone stand on the stage with stage 4 cancer and say, or a tumor that was there that's now gone, or shows up at the second event and they came a month earlier or 2 months earlier to a different event, and they have their scans in front of them, like, there's the tumor.
That's crazy.
And then there it's not there. So then they're talking and telling that story. It's the 4-minute mile. And the 4-minute mile says, oh my God, somebody just broke through a layer of consciousness. And if they can do it, I can do it. And as soon as that 4-minute mile gets broken, it's in the field. And it's evidence in 3-dimensional reality. And it's a footprint that people can step into.
So are we able to essentially heal trauma? How quickly can we heal something that's been inside of our body, inside of our mindset for decades that we've never let go of?
Yeah.
And it's a part of us. How quick are we able to do that from past trauma?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal with trauma, and it's kind of an interesting thing, because when you're traumatized, some threat or some danger or some condition in your outer world through your senses is changing how you feel in your inner world. And the quotient of change between the way you normally feel and some alarm state, when you change your internal state and move into that emergency mode, you narrow your focus on the cause, and the brain freezes an image and takes a snapshot, and that's called a long-term memory. And now that image is branded holographically into the brain. So then we remember experiences better because we can remember how they feel. And that memory then changes the person's biology. So they think neurologically within the circuits of that experience, and they feel chemically within the boundaries of those emotions. And how we think and feel becomes our state of being. Mm-hmm. So now the person biologically is changed. And many times it's the strong emotion that begins to select and instruct the gene that creates disease. Why?
Yeah.
Because if the environment signals the gene, and that's a truth, that's epigenetics, and the end product of an experience in the environment is an emotion, the emotion that you feel from that event is literally selecting the gene
for you
to begin to change. And the genes make proteins. And so the person, if it's strong enough, begins to wear their trauma, not just in their brain. Now it's in their body, because every time they think about that trauma, every time they review it, every time they keep creating the imagery, they keep firing and wiring the circuits in their brain, and they keep feeling the feeling emotionally in their body. And their body is so objective that it's believing, it's living in the same past experience 50 to 100 times a day. And all you need is a stimulus and a response, an image and an emotion, a thought and a feeling, and you're conditioning the body into the past. Well, you're conditioning the brain and body into the past.
And it doesn't matter if the actual event happened to you or not, because if you have the image, what I'm hearing you say, it's still going to connect to the body. So like what's happening right now is people are consuming probably more than 50, 100 pieces of media talking about trauma in the world right now.
Right.
Is that causing more physical damage on our bodies without actually having it physically hurt us?
Well, let me finish that thought and
yes,
then people can answer
this
that question.
Mind blowing.
So then you asked is it possible that people can heal that quickly in 1 week? Yeah, because what if they create an inner event that carries an amplitude of gratitude or joy or freedom, breakthrough from the chains of the past? When the body is liberated and you feel that elevated emotion, the stronger the emotion you feel from that breakthrough, the more you're going to pay attention to the image in your mind. And now you're now beginning to brand new circuitry in the brain, and your body's being conditioned into a new future. And the stronger the emotion you feel, and the more you pay attention to the picture, the more you're conditioning the body over time to the future instead of the past. So now you keep knocking on that genetic door emotionally, then that emotion ultimately signals a new gene that upregulates that gene to produce better proteins. And the person then all of a sudden starts healing. And we have research to show that people can do that in 4 days, signal genes to reduce cancer cells and to signal stem cells to suppress, to go to active tissues and repair them and regenerate them and suppress inflammation. That we have research to show that you could change the number of brain cells you have just by doing this properly. And so now all of a sudden,
in four days, you can start to reverse some of the damage you've done in your body, depending on the degree of damage, it sounds like. But in 4 days, by simply replacing the imagery, the visualization, the acknowledgement to a different emotion, an emotion of joy, gratitude, peace, perspective, acceptance, I'm assuming these things.
A vision of your future.
A vision of what you want that's positive, as opposed to a vision that is tied to a negative event of the past over and over every single moment of the day. Your body will start to heal. Your immune system will start to heal. And you'll start to shift your genes.
Gene expression. Absolutely.
What's the difference between gene expression and just genes?
Well, you know, you come with a lot of genes, and they're just a library of potentials. They're just a storehouse of information, of possibilities. So then you got to get the right signal, the right lock into the key that begins to select and instruct genes that cause genes to make different proteins. And you can regulate so many different genes, the same genes, you can regulate them differently. So when they upregulate, they start producing really healthy and robust proteins. And that's enzymes, that's tissue, that's structure, that's function, that's hormones, it's immunoglobulins. When they downregulate because of some alarm, when there's not a lot of energy for long-term building projects, well, then you keep doing that, then the body starts producing cheaper proteins. It's a different signal. It's not a time for growth. And so now to answer your other question,
yes,
then it makes sense then that if you have been if you had experience of trauma, say, for example, and it's created the feeling of fear, and your fear is that it could happen again. And you don't know this, but every time you think about that future, that possible worst case scenario, and you feel the emotion, you're conditioning your body to become the mind subconsciously of anxiety. So now, all you need now is some cue in your outer environment that says it's unsafe, that there's damage there, that you are a victim, something's bigger than you that could have an effect on you. Well, now, that feeling of fear is going to cause you to think thoughts equal to it. So the person then no longer needs the environment to feel that fear. They just have to have the thought about that condition now. And now they're literally knocking their brain and body out of balance by thought alone. And the body's constantly living in emergency mode. And it takes a lot of energy, a lot of resources to live in emergency mode all the time.
All the time.
Guess what system becomes compromised by
it? Immune system.
your immune system. Why? Because you have two protection systems. You got you got a system that protects you from dangers in your outer world. That's the gas pedal. That's the sympathetic nervous system. That's the fight or flight nervous system. Danger, threat out there. Use all the energy because you got to survive. And when you survive, you got to take care of your body. So
right.
So now that system can work really well short term. It doesn't work really well if you keep it on all the time. Because if you're mobilizing all that energy for some threat in your outer world, there's no energy in your inner world for growth and repair. There's no energy for long-term building projects. And energy leaves the brain and it leaves the heart and it moves into these lower centers because now you're tapping the body's resources because there is an emergency. But whether the emergency is real or imagined, whether your anger is valid or justified or not, that you're tapping the body's very energy to heal by doing this. And the immune system says, well, we're part of really the other nervous system. We're the brake. We're the clutch. We need to get into relaxation. We need to get back into balance again. And when we do, then we'll metabolize. Then we'll assimilate. We'll reproduce. We'll excrete properly. Mm-hmm. So now you got this kind of battle between the gas pedal and the brake. And the immune system says, hey, listen, if there's foreign agents, if there's viruses, bacteria, molds, funguses, listen, we don't have a whole lot of energy here to deal with them because we're fighting this war out there. There's no homeland security. So they shut down certain receptors in the immune system. They shut down function of those lymphocytes, those white blood cells that are your inner army of protection. And it takes a lot of energy to fight a virus and a bacteria. But if there's right. no energy, hey, listen, it takes energy to raise the body's temperature. Where do you think that comes from? That's part of that branch called the autonomic nervous system. And the sympathetic, the gas pedal, is part of it. And the parasympathetic is the clutch, is part of that autonomic nervous system. And it's a check and balance. But so you stay in emergency for an extended period of time. And now you're exposed to some antigen or some external substance, some foreign agent, and there's no energy to deal with it, then you are victim to your environment, because every time you react to your environment and you say that person, that circumstance is controlling the way I feel and the way I think, if something outside of you is controlling your feelings and thoughts, then it makes you a victim to your environment. So then so you will be more victimized, or more, you could be more of a victim to other things in your environment. People don't understand this consciously because it's a program subconsciously. So now, if you begin to strengthen your inner environment now, this is where our work comes in, because we have research to show that when you place your attention right here in your heart, this center right here, this is this is the beginning of our divinity. This is our center of oneness, our wholeness. This is where we begin to feel love, gratitude, compassion, kindness, care, freedom, joy. It's all these elevated emotions that are heartfelt emotions. That our research shows that when you begin to teach people how to open this center, and you teach them a formula on how to practice it, that if they did that for 4 days, that they would begin to strengthen their immune system by 50%. And now let me tell you why. Because in the center is your heart. But what most people don't know, there's another gland in there called the thymus gland. Thyme leaf. It's named after the thyme leaf. And the thymus gland has two functions. It has an endocrinological function. It makes growth hormone. That's our youth center. And it makes strong immune chemicals. And it has an immunological function. So when you're living by stress and your heart is racing and you're stepping on the gas and the brake at the same time because you can't run, you can't fight, you can't hide, and you got the gas and the clutch going, energy is going to leave the heart and it's going to the adrenal center, and you're going to cause contraction in the arteries in your heart, and this center will shut down from blood flow. And so there's no energy in the heart. So you teach a person then how to begin to open the center and to start feeling elevated emotions through their heart. And you teach them how to switch or convert from the sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic nervous system. Well, all of a sudden now, this thymus gland, which normally shrinks with age, starting at puberty, the fountain of youth now, all of a sudden begins to get new blood flow. And there's new hormones that are signaled, like oxytocin and vasopressin. and all these different chemicals called nitric oxide and endothelial-derived relaxing factor, and the arteries in the heart begin to swell with energy and blood flow. And this center switches on, and now it says, man, this feels good. And this is a time for us to really get back into balance and really let's strengthen our inner world now. And now all of a sudden, this thymus gland begins to make thymosin, which is an important agent that begins to make T cells. And T cells have little receptors on them called T cell receptors. And when those T cell receptors are robust and strong, those cells make proteins and they make what's called antibodies or immunoglobulins. And these little Y-shaped proteins block the receptors coming from the virus that are trying to attack the white blood cells. They have a shield. And now they're immune to the virus and its attack with its receptor. Wow. And it can literally begin to inject it with these immunoglobulins, primary immunoglobulin A. And that begins to cause the virus to not survive.
Wow.
And then that white blood cell will pass another white blood cell and pass on the memory to it, so it already knows what's coming. So now, all of a sudden, you're making these immunoglobulins, and now your inner world now can combat anything that's a foreign agent, and even cancer cells.
So are you saying, is it possible that we can build our immune system so strong and our body so strong that we would reject viruses?
Your body rejects viruses all
really?
The time. Of course. It has memorized certain viruses that you've been exposed to. It has memorized certain bacteria that you've been exposed to. And it's beaten those viruses. Not every virus wins in the body. The body has an intelligence, and it has quite a library of memories in the white blood cells. So your body is fighting viruses and bacteria all the time. There's a constant competition going on.
Really?
So our research shows that 4 days of opening your heart releases immunoglobulin A, your body's primary defense against bacteria and viruses. It's better than the flu shot. It's the body's natural flu shot. And that's the innate intelligence of the body saying, I got this. I got a lot of energy. In fact, I got a surplus of energy. In fact, I'm radiating energy, and now
too much
in my
energy.
Outer world. Now my outer world is not controlling my inner world. My inner world now is functioning independent of what's going on in my outer world. And now
you're manifesting. Manifesting.
Now you got it. Now you're in a creative state.
People are coming to you, yes.
Right, exactly. Now you're a magnet. Now you have a field, right? And you have energy to heal. And our research shows that field around your body will actually expand. You radiate more light and information. Cells are getting new information that are causing light to be exchanged between cells and information. Now the body's getting an upgrade. So that immunoglobulin A in 4 days went up 50%. So now we now know that if it's going up 50%, that then the immune system was getting a new signal. And nitric oxide then causes another chemical to activate the arteries in your heart to swell. And now, just like when energy moves into your sexual organs and it swells with blood and you have energy there, the same intensity, it moves into your heart. And now the heart is activated. And what do you feel? You feel an incredible amount of love. Yeah, and
love.
You feel whole. And now the more whole you feel, our research shows, then the less separate you feel from the things you want in your life, because you feel like you already have them. You only want things when you're in lack. But when you feel whole, then it feels like it's already happened. And that tends to be the exact emotion that causes those synchronicities and serendipities and coincidences to happen in our life. And you say to a person, what are you doing? And they're saying, I'm not doing anything. I'm just so
loving
happy.
Life. I'm being myself.
Right. Exactly. I'm free from the past. I'm free from my story of the past. In fact, I'm more connected to the energy of my future than I am to the energy of my past. I'm believing in my future more than I'm believing in my past. In fact, I'm more in love with my future than I am with my past. And I want to keep telling you the future.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. I'm more in love with my future than the story of my past. But most of us tell the story of our past in a negative sense on how it's held us back millions of times over our life, as opposed to the story of the future of what we want to create or who we want to become.
Yeah. Listen, again, you tell that story, and the latest research on memory says that memory is creative. That in fact, 50% of that story, you embellish. People make up that story. Let me tell you why they make up that story. Because they excuse themselves for the fact that they haven't been able to change since that event. They'll have to make it sound worse than it really was.
To make it harder to grow and change.
So that they can reaffirm their limited sense of their inability to change. So then that story becomes more and more of a story, and it's less of the truth, because you got to work yourself up into a state. There were lions and tigers, and there was, there were helicopters.
Snowstorms.
And everybody was firing bullets. It was worse than you could possibly imagine. And then you got to feel that emotion, right? And then you're looking, oh, yeah, it must have been really bad. Now, that's your identity now. That's your identity.
And so the more you hold on to that identity of the past, the harder it is to become who you want to be in the future.
Well, here's to answer the other part of your question when we started talking. How do you get that person out of their past?
Yeah.
Well, we need a week. It's not going to happen.
You mean it doesn't happen overnight?
No, I want them to come right up against their fear. I want them to come right up against their doubt. I want them to come up against the point where they're going to give up and quit. And they're going to sit there and nobody else is giving up and quitting. And they're going to go all in more, and they're going to start believing what there's something on the other side of that emotion. They're going to believe that there's something past the story of their past, because they're stretching themselves out of the known. And it takes a tremendous amount of awareness, repetition, information, model building, sharing, understanding, experiencing, to finally have a person get to the point where they just let go. And when they do, the body's liberated from the past. And there's a release of energy. And we now know that there's a formula to teach people how to do that. In fact, we're getting so good at it that the first 2 days, day and a half sometimes, one day in certain groups of a week-long event is about retiring that past, finishing it. You know, this is when the story ends. This is when they get over it. Now, the next 5 days, the person's ready to create a new future. And they're not going to have a problem teaching their body what it feels like to be in love with life, to feel like all their needs are met, that they're free. They are going to fall in love with it, and they are going to begin to signal new genes. They're going to begin to change their brain circuitry, their brain chemistry, their immune system, their gene expression, the telomeres. It's all going to happen. They're more of that future self, and they're headed to a future. Now, here's the deal, though. you got to be able to sustain that state when you return back to your life. That's the name of the game. You got to be able to, you got to bring the game into your life now, and no person, no circumstance, no condition in your life would cause you to feel the old way again. Because the moment you started feeling victimized, the moment you started feeling angry, you just returned to the old self. You disconnected from the energy of your future and you're back to the energy of your past. Don't expect anything to change in your life. And if you say to me, well, it was because of that person, I'd say, you're back to the unconscious program of believing that your outer world is controlling your inner world. Now, the moment the person starts creating effects in their life and they start having those synchronicities and serendipities, now all of a sudden, they're going to realize what they're doing inside of them is producing an effect outside of them. And they're going to say, oh my God, I'm more of the creator of my life and the less of the victim I am of my life. And I wouldn't create getting that health condition because I'm creating everything in my life. And now they're not victims. And so it's a, it's not something you get in one bite. You know, it's something you got to stick with.
Of course. So what are a few things we can do before we come to your events? What are a few things we can do to support our inner environment on a daily basis?
Well, listen, the first thing and the most important thing for me is knowledge and information. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is really power, and knowledge and information about yourself should empower you. It should empower the self, right? So when we learn about the immune system and all that can do, and we say, oh my God, you mean not every virus gets to me? In fact, no. And the more you understand that, and the more you coax your immune system into love and I just did this little thing on our social media where I was talking about the inner army of order and what would be the signal you would want that inner army to get. And so we created this meditation and we said, what would invincibility feel like? Signal your body and feel invincible. How would you feel if you had an uncompromising will that you had more energy than you could possibly imagine? Show your body what it feels like. Because it is that emotion of invincibility, that emotion of an uncompromising will to empower your inner world. And you have the intent of that's what it's for. Wow, get ready, because you're going to start creating a cadence and a rhythm where your body's going, whoa, what is all these new chemicals? What are all these new signals?
Right.
Hey, it's time. Hey. Now all of a sudden receptor sites on the T cells go, wow, we got some new signals coming from the boss here. Let's open up all those T cell receptors. Let's go. In fact, we would love a little fight right now because we got a lot of time on our hands and we got all our receptors turned on. that would be a signal for your body. We also know that if you could just trade fear and frustration and resentment and suffering for an elevated emotion and truly open your heart again and practice doing that. You'll heal. You'll heal because, I mean, all healings happen in the heart. And we've seen some really incredible moments in the last year where people that were traumatized from childhood, that were abused sexually, physically, emotionally, that were suicidal, that had all kinds of health conditions, they came to the edge of that emotion that kept them connected to the past. And they were ready to give up in one meditation because they never had felt an emotion like this that they could remember, that it was so intense. And they thought about all the times for the last year that they never missed a day of doing a meditation, even when they didn't feel like it, or when they wanted to quit halfway through and they didn't, they went all the way. They thought about all those times that they went to that point and they went one more time.
Really?
And their words are always the same. And my heart blew wide open. And I looked back at my entire past. And I don't want to change one thing in my past because it brought me to this present moment. And I can see my betrayers. I could see the people in my life that had a hand in this. And I have nothing but compassion for them because now the person is no longer viewing that past from the same level of consciousness. They're viewing it from a place of love, of wholeness. And they see the greater good of all of it. And now their conditions, their health conditions, their endometriosis, their uterine tumors, I mean, whatever it is, literally disappears and they have an incredible, incredible change in their brain chemistry. They're in love with life. They're off their meds. They're not suicidal. Why would they be? They're free. So it can happen in an instant when the heart is healed and everybody gets the new signal. The body's out of the past. The body's no longer feeling the emotions of the past. And sometimes we got to come right up against that edge. That's the great moment.
It's probably not sometimes. It's probably every time in order to break through is to get up against that edge.
Yeah.
So how do we, I feel like we've brainwashed ourselves over the years to believe a story of the past is who we are and who we will always be in the future. So how do we brainwash ourselves in times of stress and anxiety in order to become more peaceful, loving, and successful in the future? How do we brainwash ourselves in a different way?
Sure. Well, that's what I have spent just about my whole life. the first and most important thing is that you have to understand that if 95% of who you are is a set of unconscious programs, then the first step is lighting a match in a dark place. If you want to become someone else, you got to become aware of who you are.
Yes.
That means you got to start thinking about what you've been thinking about. You got to start paying attention to how you speak. You got to be conscious.
Being conscious to every thought, action,
emotion,
word, emotion, feeling, expression, body language, everything you need to be aware of and conscious of.
Self-aware.
Is there a way that you help people to track this besides just like, okay, I'm aware of this in the moment? Do they journal their thoughts throughout the day, or when a negative thought comes up, do they remember the way their body language is throughout the day, closed off and guarded or open? How do they self-reflect where they can track it better?
Well, that's a big question. But I will tell you this, that you demystify the word meditation, and the word meditation literally means become familiar with.
Yeah.
When you become so familiar with your thoughts, so aware of your emotions, so conscious of your habits that you wouldn't go unconscious to them again, now you're no longer the program, right? Mm-hmm. So getting people disentangled from that program, we found out is a formula. And when we teach people how to do certain things with their focus and opening their awareness, when we teach them how to create a very disorderly brain that has been driven by the hormones of stress into a more orderly, coherent brain, and teach them how to open their focus and practice that, they'll come up against those thoughts and they'll become so familiar with them. Listen to this. They won't believe them anymore when they come up any longer.
Wow.
And so when they hear them in their day, they'll be like, that's not going to stop me from my future. So if they're sitting there and they want to quit, just because they're sitting still and they're not quitting, then they're developing a will that's greater than those programs. And you're breaking out of the shell. And you keep doing that, you're going to get up and do the work every day because you did it yesterday. And you're going to want to do more of that because you're getting out of your past and it feels better. And if you keep doing that and you keep feeling better every day, the question is, why wouldn't you do it every day? Because you would ultimately just feel better. And then the more whole you feel means the more you are connected to your future. Imagine if you felt every single day, and this is what I do work on. If I could stay connected to the emotions of my future all day long, there's no way I would be looking for when it would be happening. How could I look for when it would be happening if I feel like it's happening? I wouldn't look anymore, which means I wouldn't be separate from it. And that's when you start creating the magic, right? That's when you're in that zone. And that's when that reaffirms that personality that you're becoming. And now you don't, wake up in the morning and go, oh God, I got to create my future. Now you're going to jump out of bed because
excited.
You're not going to want that magic to end. That's the
right.
key. So you teach people how to do this and they start seeing the events in their life. They're not going to want to miss a day in really just getting beyond their personality. And listen, it's so cool because it's amazing. You see all these people come in for success and new careers and new relationships and healing from a disease and mystical experience. They come in for all these different kind of reasons, healing from a childhood trauma. But really, they just want wholeness.
Right.
And so as they start becoming more whole and they start feeling more whole, it's not coming from anywhere out there. It's not coming from out there. Nothing out there is making them feel whole. When the novelty of the thing wears off, you feel empty again. They're feeling whole from within. Oh, this is different. This is a different game. So why wouldn't you want to keep feeling more whole that you no longer want anything? Now you're not living in separation any longer. That's the cool part.
If someone is so disconnected to their future, their greater future self, if they're so negative thoughts, suicidal thoughts, often hurting themselves potentially, often don't have many close friends, don't feel like they identify with themselves in the world, don't feel like anyone understands them, no one accepts them, no one gets them. Like, this all sounds great in theory, but when you're in a place of survival mode in your thoughts constantly, how can someone like that, without having to go through the workshop, that doesn't have the opportunity to go right now, what can they start to do to just give some a little bit of relief and peace in their heart?
Yeah, it's simple. Knowledge, experience, wisdom. Philosophy, initiate that philosophy, master it.
Yep.
Mind, body, soul. Thinking, doing, being. Learning it with your head, applying it with your hands, knowing it by heart. And this is the journey of knowledge, because when you learn that information and you really study it, you are going to begin to see the world differently because your brain is changing. Then when you start saying, how can I use this? How can I apply it? How can I personalize it? How could I do something, initiate this information? What do I got to do? How do I get my behaviors to match my intentions? Now, this is the act of trial and error. It's so important. You don't make it the first time. You don't give up. You get up and you try to walk again. And you start learning how to do this. And so as you begin to do it over and over again, you start having new experiences.
Yes.
Well, new experiences enrich the circuits in your brain philosophically. And now the brain makes a chemical. And now you're feeling more unlimited. You're feeling more whole. You're teaching your body chemically to understand what your mind intellectually understood. And now you are literally, literally starting to embody that knowledge.
Yeah.
It's becoming, it's signaling new Jesus. It's new information. But you can't do it one day and expect your wealth to come. You got to do it over and over again.
Yes.
So the repetition of practicing over and over again neurochemically conditions the mind and body to begin to work as one. You've done it so many times. The body now knows how to do it subconsciously.
Just like it knew how to subconsciously lean into trauma and victim mode
right.
for decades.
Now the body's getting new information. It's going to adapt. And now you're going to literally become that knowledge. You're going to become it. That's what you're going to become. And so now that's when you no longer have to try. It's who you are. It's
yes.
Yeah. You've memorized an internal order that's greater than anything in your outer world that's going to tell you something else. That's key right there.
And you become immunity to negative thoughts or negative viruses, where if someone tries to say something to you, your body just rejects it automatically, just as if your physical body would reject some virus coming in. Is that correct?
That's absolutely the
way
it works.
If I said, Dr. Joe, you can't do it. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're not smart enough. You're not this. You wouldn't even, it would just bounce right off you. You wouldn't even receive it because your field is so powerful. It's pushing all that away.
No, because it's not the truth.
There you go. You just laugh. It'd just be like, okay, that's just not real.
But if I kept telling you, you know, you need this product, you need this drug to feel better, to look better, to be better. Let's appeal to your lack. And if you buy this, it'll make that feeling go away. And you try it for a while, then the feeling doesn't go away anymore. You got to try something else. Mm-hmm. And now watch the news and listen to all that information. It's telling you you're limited. You're limited. It's something out there is going to get you. There's nothing wrong with that. This, but if you're constantly saying it's traffic, it's the news, it's politics, it's my ex, that's making me feel and think this way, then you're subconsciously, not consciously, affected by your environment, and you'll be mm-hmm. more affected by your environment. It's not a conscious process. But the more you say, I'm going to, in spite of the fear that we talked about, or the anxiety, or the frustration, or the aggression, or the hostility, or whatever it is, the pain, the suffering, instead of saying that I can't change that, you know what? I'm going to see if I can. Where can I find that information? And all of a sudden you find people that are doing it and it makes sense to you. And you're like, well, okay, I'm feeling really anxious. Instead of taking something that's going to chemically change me, let's see if I could chemically change me without something out there. Let me see if I can make my own pharmacy of antidepressants. I don't know. Let's see if I can make my own pain relievers. Let's see if I can make my own chemicals that cause my immune system to get stronger. I'm just curious. Let's see. Now the person is, they're out of the bleachers and they're on the field. So they'll start believing that they can do it, even if they change it a little bit. And if they don't get it the first 3 days, but they've seen the testimony of someone who has, and you see that person who's totally happy, that was abused every day of her life, and they don't have the genetic disorder any longer, you're going to say, wow, that person doesn't look like a movie star. That person doesn't look like they're vegetarian now. That person doesn't look young and buff or whatever it is. They're going to look like a normal person. And you're going to say, I identify with her. I identify with her. She can do it. I can do it. Now, here's the cool part.
Yeah.
We've seen then when people do this with the same, stand on the stage and tell the story, that the person in the audience with the same genetic condition does it in a shorter amount of time because the four-minute mile's been broken. Yeah, it's evidence. So now evidence becomes the loudest voice. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's in testimony. There's truth right in front of you. It's right in front of you. There's, you know, we had a guy in Dubai that had, he was in a wheelchair with this tumor in his spine. And the doctor sent him home to die. He came across my book like a week before they got
Which book?
Becoming Supernatural. And then he read the book and he somehow got in there. Someone gave him a spot. He was in a wheelchair, stage 4 cancer, go home and die, severe paralysis, a limitation, crowding the spinal cord, the whole bit. Nothing we can do for you. All these pain meds, excruciating pain. 1 week after the week long, his tumor reduced by 30%. I just saw him in Munich. He can walk. He's walking without his wheelchair.
Wow.
I mean he's in a new experience. He's believing now in himself. And when you believe in yourself, you believe in possibility. You can't have one without the other.
How do you believe in yourself when you've never believed in yourself and you've got doubt inside of you all day long?
Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Keep learning, keep studying, keep listening to it. Sooner or later, that'll become a louder voice in your head than I can. It's too hard. I'll never change.
Yeah. And you mean knowledge of new philosophies, knowledge of new skills, knowledge of new anything.
Study. If you don't want to read, get on YouTube and watch people talk about how you can change your genes. Just start looking. Start looking at the testimonies on websites. I mean, we have over 450 testimonies now, people that have healed themselves. It's not small potatoes.
It's amazing.
Start looking to see what did that person do. And when they tell their story that's worse than yours, you're going to start going, wow, that person really had a tough one. And if they overcame it, well, geez, I could just forgive my father right now. I could forgive my ex right now. I want to let them go and I want to be free. And I don't want to give them my attention because I give them my energy. I put my attention in my future. Sooner or later, you're going to come to it the way you do. But if you don't have the knowledge, then you believe in it less. See, there's people that I saw this just recently and I was looking closely and there are people that do this work, do this transformation work in the meditations that we teach. And they're so impatient and they're so entitled and they want an instantaneous change from the lack and pain they're feeling, right? That they never overcome themselves in their meditation. They never overcome themselves in the meditation. And when they finish their meditation, they believe in this work less.
Mm.
Then there are people who say, I can tell you the moment I made up my mind to change. Because I had reached the end and I made a decision. And that decision to change carried an amplitude of energy that was greater than the hardwired programs in my brain and the emotional conditioning in my body. And my body literally responded to my mind in that moment, that the choice that I made became a moment in time I would never forget. And they'll tell you, and that's the moment I remembered when I was going to change. Now, those people then, when they sit down to do the work, they're the chemotherapy hasn't worked. The injections didn't work. The radiation didn't work. The surgery didn't work. The diet didn't work. The yoga didn't work. This is now their end. They have nothing else to believe in but themselves.
Mm.
And they go all in, not 50%, not 60%. They're going all in. They have nothing else to believe in. Now listen, when they go a little bit outside the known, they went a little further than where they normally would stop. They pushed themselves to that next limit. They started believing in themselves that they could do it a little bit more. They finish the meditation and they get up and believing it's working more than working less. They're the person that's believing in themselves. Mm-hmm. That's why, because it's not the work. It's your belief in yourself, right? And then when you believe in yourself, you believe in possibilities. When you believe in possibilities, you got to believe in yourself. Who else are going to believe in? So people make these great strides in the and their own personal growth is a testament to the living organism. The living organism, the species of human beings that's starting to believe, well, maybe we're not so as limited as we've been programmed to believe. Maybe we are more unlimited. And I'd rather throw in with that. And if you don't think your immune system isn't aware of viruses, that could handle any virus if it got the right signal, and if it was in a state of wholeness and your thymus was activated and your blood flow to that center was turned on because you decided to turn it on and you decided to release those chemicals that suppress the survival centers in your brain because oxytocin does, and you wanted to stay there for a period of time and memorize that feeling, I guarantee you that thymusin would begin to signal those T cells, and those T cells would activate their T cell receptors, and those T cell receptors would be releasing immunoglobulins and antibodies that would block those receptors coming off a virus. Like you may not pass. I'm sorry. It's the end.
So what advice do you give to people who are in the whole coronavirus stress, anxiety moment right now where they feel like the world is ending, there's no end in sight, I have to protect myself forever?
Yeah, well then be careful because you're susceptible to it in that state. And listen, I mean, what a great, this is, I'm doing this event next week called Intermission or Intermission. Like, why not just take a pause, break from the normal routine? Everybody's secretly dreamed about staying home from work. Look, they got it. Got exactly.
You should be happy.
I should be happy. Now, listen. Okay, make a choice. Okay, who do you want to be when those doors open up again? Retreat from your normal life, your normal routine. Mm. Take time and ask yourself, what is a greater expression of myself? Who can I forgive? How can I change? Mm. How can I love more? What is it that's stopping me from believing in my future? Mm. What do I need to learn about myself? Well, instead of mindlessly getting lost in all those distractions of social, you know, awareness. Why not get lost in yourself and literally get not only mentally rehearse it, but physically demonstrate it, become it. I mean, walk it, become it in your walk as it, see what happens for however long this goes. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? You get happy. I mean, so what? but those people who have fear, yeah, fear suppresses the immune system.
And so the more we watch and consume from a fearful point of view, I'm all for getting the right updates so we know what we should be doing.
Me too.
And like, okay, get updated. You've got the information, which is powerful once you have more knowledge, but not consuming based on fear, worry, and stress. Because what happens when we're always consuming based on fear information? What does it do to our body? It hurts the immune system, right?
Well, listen, you only accept, believe, and surrender to information equal to your emotional state. A person who's not feeling fear is less programmable, but that information in fear programs the autonomic nervous system to an output. And the output is very specific gene expression. It's very specific things that happen to the immune system. So the more you change that and the more you have the ability to alter that, the less likely you would be susceptible to it. Because the more you believe you're the creator of your reality, you would say, I would never create that for myself.
Wow.
And now listen, the game changes here. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody should just run out and start breaking social distancing and handshakes and all. Listen, do all the right things matter to matter, you know? Yeah, of course. And that's why when the thymus shrinks, as we age, elderly people have it's mostly fat tissue. There's very little immune function here. So they're going to be more susceptible. But if you understand that you can activate this center and it can make all kinds of wonderful things, it's better than any flu shot. I mean, why not take a chance? I mean, why not try it out do it for a month? I mean, every day. And get the information, study. I mean, I look at the news and see what's truth. I look for the right articles. But I'm also not going to do what's natural. I'm more interested in supernatural. And if I've seen it in evidence in 4 days, God, imagine if you did it for a month. I mean, wow. I mean, what would they have done studies in the 1918s where they injected people with bacteria and viruses from their mucous membranes throughout their body, and most of them never got anything. I mean, how do you know? Who knows?
Yeah. What's the 60-second version of what you do on a daily basis internally to visualize your greater future self of what you want for your future to be, experience? Is there a process that you have? Brief process and 60 seconds or less?
60 seconds or less. I can make it less than 60 seconds.
Okay.
So, I mean, I ask myself, what is the greatest expression of myself that I'm going to present to the world today? Who do I want to be when I open my eyes? Let me become conscious of who I don't want to be. And let me become conscious of who I do want to be. And I want to become so conscious of who I no longer want to be that I wouldn't go unconscious to him the whole entire day. And if I fall from grace, I am going to give myself permission to get back up and continue. I'll love myself for that. And then I get clear on who I do want to be and how I want to think and how I want to act and how I want to feel. And I rehearse it until I get to that point where I feel like I am that person. And then I just say, memorize this feeling. And then I do my best the entire day to maintain that inner state independent of the conditions in my outer world. And if I do it well, then we start seeing those synchronicities, the serendipities, the coincidences that cause us to believe more that we are the creator of our lives instead of the victim of our lives.
Mm, I love this. What did you say to yourself about who you do want to be this morning? What was that like for you?
Oh, no. For me today, it was all about I wanted to be the expression of knowledge, the expression of information. I wanted to really feel like I'm more equipped every day in believing what we do and hopefully make a difference in the world in some way. And if I do that in a day, then yeah, I love that feeling.
I love this, man. I've got a couple questions left for you. I love when you said all healing happens in the heart, and it doesn't seem like people teach us how to heal the heart from an early age. I don't remember media or teachers. I guess
parents, parents.
I mean, I grew up it's funny because I think I've told you this a few times now since you've been on a few times. I grew up in a religion called Christian Science where every Wednesday night we had these, it was called testimony meetings, where we went to church on Wednesday nights to hear healing testimonials of other people in our community like us that we could see like, oh, I'm like Susie or I'm like Jeff or I'm like whatever. They were going through this challenge, whether it be a mental challenge, a physical ailment. And we would watch these testimony meetings. I mean, I would watch them and I would see, oh, wow, if this person can overcome this, so can I. And I started to have a different story. So this religion taught me a lot of things that you talk about. I feel like I had the privilege of going through and experiencing.
Right.
It wasn't perfect. And this, you know, I had some of my own challenges, but I got to fortunately have this type of learning at an early age about testimony and about healing and about knowing the truth and about elevating your consciousness and your mindset through spiritual awareness. But in general, I don't feel like most people had that opportunity to learn these things. How do we get to a place of learning them, how to heal the heart, when it's not relevant? I mean, it's not information that's on the world.
Yeah. Well, listen, I have taken a lot of hits over the last 20 years. I really don't even care.
You were the crazy guy talking about, you know, water changing itself.
Whatever. I mean, I was saying that our thoughts do have an effect on our bodies and our lives. And I mean, I want to demystify that process, but now, I mean, it's such an amazing time. It's in an age of information, ignorance really is a choice. I mean, there's so much out there for you to understand what it does do for you in the right way. Now, discernment is another issue, because you got to learn. But again, if you can get people to retreat from their lives and to remove the constant stimulation in their outer environment that reminds them of who they think they are as a personality, you know, separate from people and the objects and places and all that information that's reaffirming your identity long enough to learn information, new information wired in your brain, and then give people numerous opportunities to overcome themselves, numerous opportunities to connect. Put them in a community where everybody's opening their heart. Put them in the community where everybody's striving to overcome themselves. Start having be defined by a vision of the future instead of the memories of the past. Let's see what happens and keep giving them more information and keep evolving the experience. Once they start breaking through, energy naturally moves back into the heart. And when it gets to the heart, it goes right to the brain. And now I've seen this. We just saw the most beautiful scans in our last week-long event. We had a team of scientists come and study us. And when that heart starts getting more orderly and more loving, it's like taking a big sheet and just whoosh, there's a flood of energy right up into the brain, and you see the brain take this wave, and it goes right into alpha, and the brain's getting a creative energy. It's information that's being driven on that, and the heart is doing that in so many ways, and the field around the body is expanding, and now there's energy to heal. I mean, so a person, if it takes them a week to get there, who cares? If it takes them a month to get there, who cares? Because I just saw a guy in Munich when I was on our last event, and I was walking through the park when everybody was doing the walking meditation. He ran up to me, he grabbed me by the arm, and he said, listen, in that last meditation, I came up to my edge, you know, and the next thing you know, I had the memory of me being a child and being abused. And I remember the feeling that I had, and I saw that beautiful guy, and I just saw him from a place of love. And I don't know, I had a heart condition. I haven't checked yet because I'm still at the event, but I'm telling you, I feel so much better. I feel so whole. I feel like I can breathe again. I feel like that kid again, like that young kid, pure, clean. So the healing took place in his heart, and he had to just have a moment where he was surrendered so much that new information could come in that was relevant to him. And that information's in the field. It's not just in his brain. And that the act of learning the formula on how to suppress the thinking brain and get beyond the analytical mind to reprogram, write a new story, record a new track, teaching people how to rehearse something new. When they keep doing it over and over again, the side effect of it is that the body naturally moves into wholeness.
That's it.
And the person feels another piece is added to their heart, and something else that was broken, fractured, missing is more integrated, and they feel energy there. And of course, when energy makes it here, now you're more selfless. You want to give. You're okay with you. You don't care what people think of you. You don't care what your enemies did to you. You don't want to lose this feeling.
Yeah.
This is who you really are, and you start figuring it out. Now this is the beginning of unconditional love, because oxytocin, or our oxytocin levels in our students can go up 200%, and that's in a very short amount of time. So a short amount of oxytocin raised in the bloodstream causes a person to get to the point where they can't hold a grudge. You can't hold a grudge. Imagine, you feel so good. Why would you want to hold the grudge? You would want to free that person and free. You're like, hey, I'm great. You know, you're not trying to be forgiving. It's the side effect of what happens to you biologically as a result of a person changing.
Oh, Dr. Joe, thank you for constantly giving me so much wisdom, and to our listeners and our viewers who love your information. I know you have a number of books that people should be diving into. What's the one someone should dive into first? If they can have some of this meditation practice, some of this visualization, where should they download, on Audible or online, to get this?
I would start with Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, how to lose your mind and create a new one. I think that's a good foundation for people. Then You Are the Placebo, another book that's a more evolution of how to heal by thought alone, and the power of the how we believe and perceive, and then Becoming Supernatural, I think, would probably be a good one. But some people like Becoming Supernatural because they want all the everything at once.
Everything.
But if you want that, you can start there.
You read them all on the audios as well. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And then there's tons of stuff on our website for all kinds of things that we do.
Yeah, and your site, your main site is drjoespenza.com.
Yeah.
And you have events, typically right now they're on pause, but you typically have events a number of times throughout the year, correct?
Yeah, we do those week-long events on the average of once a month.
Wow. You're a machine, man. You're a machine of love.
It's too good. Surf's up, man.
I love it, man. I love this. So definitely, I mean, I've had so many people have listened and watched over the last few years who've seen our interviews that have said they've gone to your workshops and they swear by how powerful they are. So make sure you guys pre-sign up for one in the future right now, because I'm assuming some are on pause currently, but the ones that are in the future, get on the wait list, get a ticket, whatever you got to do, get the books, subscribe to you on Instagram, all the places online. Where else can we go to support you and get involved in this type of information?
Gosh, I mean, that sounded pretty good. We have like teleclasses, you know, we do all kinds of things, but it's all on the website.
It's on the website. You can sign up for free courses, other stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
So amazing. What's the final thought you would share with us? And for people that You know, if this is your first time being exposed to Dr. Joe, we've got two other interviews you can go watch or listen to. I've asked him his three truths and his definition of greatness over there, but I'm curious, and with the times that are happening right now, in this moment, where the world has never experienced this, at least in, 100 years probably, what is your final thoughts on
today? Wow. We are all faced with great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. And there's always a door. That's how we evolve. And we have to see adversity and challenge from a greater level of consciousness, not the same consciousness that's created it. Otherwise, we fall victim to our environment, to rise to a different level of awareness and to believe in possibility. And when we do, of course, it awakens an innate capacity in us to be greater.
Mm. Dr. Joe, you're the man. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom. I appreciate it as always. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lewis. A pleasure.
My friend, I hope you enjoyed this episode. For me, it's always a powerful reminder of what we are capable of with our thoughts, with our heart, opening ourselves to the field of love and manifesting all those synchronicities of life, the juiciness of life that when magic happens, it's when you're in that state of bliss, of joy. And when we can get to that place more consistently, that's when good things happen on a consistent basis. I'm so excited. I'm so grateful we got Dr. Joe back on this episode. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the School of Greatness podcast over on Apple, Spotify, and share the link with your friends. We've got to get this message out there far and wide to help connect the message of Dr. Joe to the world. So lewishouse.com/933 for the link, or wherever the podcast app that you're listening to, just copy the link of this specific episode and share it over on social media. Tag Dr. Joe Dispenza, tag me at Lewis Howes, and spread the message. You have the power right now to change someone's life, to save someone's life with this information. So make sure to use it and share it wisely. I'm so grateful for you for being a part of this, for spending your time here today. I hope it gave you some peace. I hope it gave you some tools. I hope it gave you some inspiration and some strategies to improve your life. That's what this is all about. And as Gandhi said, a man is but the product of his thoughts. What he thinks, he becomes. I hope you are thinking positively. I hope you are acting in a positive way as well, and showing up consistently with your actions to support your thoughts. I love you. You matter. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.